Action.
Action.
Take one. Take nine at this point.
Yeah, like every we've been chatting away for ages already.
Yeah, I always feel like every time... I'm going to move this mic a bit closer because everyone can hear me now. I feel like every time... Like, we meet up before this podcast. I'm always like, oh, should just have, like, one of those secret microphones.
Yeah, we should just record our conversations. Mm. Anyway. I feel like we get cancelled, though. Or kicked. No, that sounds bad. But, like, I feel like no one really needs to hear those at the same time. Us yapping for hours.
Yeah. Sometimes we just go on really long, nuanced conversations. Yeah. Well, because both Helena and I have been currently taking feminist philosophy. This year, we have books in front of us. We have these books. We have The Two Sexes, The Mask of Feminism, On Earth We Are Briefly Gorgeous,
Sexual Contradictions, The Untying the Tongue, and The Woman in the Body.
Yeah.
I was in the library earlier and I was telling Kaviva how I was reading Sexual Contradictions and Feminine Sexuality by Jax Lacan, and it's all about Freudian concepts. And I was so...
What's that?
This Freudian concept of, like, the Oedipus complex and the Electra complex. The Oedipus one is the boy, you know, all that jazz, the disturbing shit.
Yeah. I should know this now. Bear in mind, I'm taking this class as well.
Well, we haven't really done that in class, thank God, because I'd actually be so disturbed. I was so disturbed reading that. Like, I actually was shaking.
You know what? Sometimes, because, I mean, I take this from a different perspective. Obviously, you're a philosopher. You study philosophy. I take it... I've always been super interested in philosophy, but I take philosophy as a purpose or other people's meanings in their life, and also like as a way to like one approaches life as we live it. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. But I mean, I obviously do think about it, not particularly much, but I find sometimes when I read or discuss like philosophy, I end up giving myself an existential crisis.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's probably what you were doing about the female contradictions, or what's that book called again?
It was the one I read. I didn't actually take it from the library. It was Feminine Sexuality by Jackson Pan. And this one is all Sexual Contradictions, and it's all about like... how sexuality arises and like it's and
yeah,
they were
it's
saying how
like
it starts as a baby and you like but it desire absolutely your parents does. And I was like vomit.
No, I don't even think about it that, because sometimes when like for me, I mean, I have some amazing friends that are super, actually quite a lot of my friends do study philosophy. They probably have more...
Yeah, just to preface, like, I know that's it's a more nuanced discussion as of how I just described it, but it was just, like, some of the quotes and some of the words were so disturbing, but I do there's way more to it than just that.
What happens to me, though, is that, like, I mean, I do understand these people's, like, thinking thoughts, but when it, like, clicks, there's, like, when, like, philosophy, like, itches in my brain,
it
scratches an itch I didn't know needed scratching, and I'm like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why I love the feminist philosophy class, because it's so like you can actually be super engaged and interested in it, and it's so fun when you're doing a course that or a module that's like actually like it like gets you going, you like want to read. Right, like how
yeah,
we were
absolutely.
Just talking about it earlier.
I mean, even like in politics, you have to take modules in like philosophy. So I chose political philosophy as well as feminist philosophy. And even we were in political philosophy, we were studying like the hyphen. Mm-hmm. And I my eyeballs were tweaking. Eyeballs were tweaking and creaking. Between like the whole like philosophy behind gaining power and like Machiavellianism, like the objective in gaining power and like the manipulation of power, my eyeballs were tweaking and creaking in that one. I was like, I sat behind like my lecture and I had no words. I'd come out of that class like mind numbed. I was like, this is way too much to think of.
I know, that's when I first started doing philosophy 2 years ago. I did modern philosophy and Eastern philosophy, and so the Eastern philosophy is all about Buddhism and
love that though.
And then the modern philosophy was all like Descartes and like, you know, Descartes' theory of I think therefore I am, and the whole like evil genius thing, and I was evil genius.
Evil genius, evil Knievel. But it is really funny in how philosophy interacts with our particularly daily lives. It is probably why I do enjoy studying feminist philosophy, in the meaning that it has such a connection with my life. And in even ways, I suppose it's just like, it's always eye-opening, and I think that is probably the purpose of education, to open your mind, clearly. But, you know, like, even, like, I'm currently, Elena and I, we're, like, discussing about, like, our essay topics, and, like, for my essay topic, I was like, yeah, by God, that really, it just really resonates with me and everything around. Mm-hmm. And it's like the same with your essay topic. I was like, yeah, that's like, this happens like in our daily, like, yeah. And it's like, it is like an outer body perception of how we go about our lives, you know, which I think is super, super crazy.
That's one of the branches of philosophy I find the most interesting, like phenomenology and like our bodily experience.
So wait, now describe the word like phenomenology, because every time I hear you and like the gals pals, you guys are like, yeah, I'm going to my phenomenology lecture, and do you know what that sounds? It's it, like in my brain they're going phenomenology.
I know that. I honestly took the model last year, and like, it's so hard to describe, like, I don't know, could I put it in words? But it's basically the study. Oh, I'm going to say this so wrong, and you're going to be an idiot. But it's kind of like, the way I see it, it's the study of our lived experience in the world and how that interacts with the world and how other people interact with us with their experiences, and the study of like the essences. I still don't really understand like the essences part.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I wrote an essay on the feminine bodily experience, how I was saying to you earlier, and how it was like from a phenomenological feminist approach.
We always sound so smart when we use those words.
Yeah, like, I know.
Like, we were in feminist philosophy, and she was like, phallocentric point of view. And I like wrote that in my test, and I was like, wow.
Oh my God, that makes me crack up every single time. It was mostly last semester. I was reading every single reading I did, including for English. And like, I study English, so we were doing like English literature, like, you know, Bram Stoker's Dracula and The Haunting of Hill House, and like, wait, maybe not The Haunting of Hill House, but like in every other thing, it literally, in all the research essays, they mention phallic somehow.
Yeah.
In every single one. It's everywhere. And I was like, oh my God, if I have to see this word again, like, take a shot every time you read this word, I'd be on the floor.
Well,
you know?
That's just unfortunately the life we live in currently.
It's really interesting though.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about fashion trends.
Diverging from that, from the time of philosophy, let's talk about our favourite shoes.
Taking a sharp left corner.
Let's be really not feminist, not our favourite. You know what, though? You know, lipstick feminist things about, like, embracing femininity and how that is feminist. I love that. Like, I think there's nothing wrong with being feminine, and you can still be a feminist and like feminine things.
Wait, no, sorry, I completely blanked out
on
that one.
You can still be a feminist and enjoy being feminine and being a girl's girl and girly girl and like...
Oh yeah, well, absolutely.
Exactly, but
I mean, like, I'm really not a person to wear skirts or dresses, but that doesn't make me any less woman.
Exactly.
Like, that doesn't make me any...
And it doesn't make you any less less of a feminist if you do enjoy...
But I mean, it always is interesting how, again, taking on, like, that gender perspective of how clothes can influence and reinforce our stereotypes as the lived embodiedhood of women.
I was actually reading recently, because I was doing some research for the essay, and did you know that I can't... Maybe the 18th century or in France, it was actually women didn't wear high heels, and it was like a male fashion thing to wear high heels, and only men wore high heels. Mm-hmm. Like, how did that change over history? And how now, if a man wears high heels, he's dressing in drag or whatever.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
How now, like, women, like, it's a female thing to wear high heels, whereas before it was only a male thing, really.
Yeah,
you know,
it is super interesting,
like, the way history changes.
Well, you know, like, even like the beauty standard or pretty privilege, or you know, I think that does reinforce our ideology of gender. Given, you know, like, you know, you take it back from, like, you know, the 1700s point of view, when we're in, like the Elizabethan era, you know, I know they used to put on, like, loads and loads of white powder. where they would like pull their hair back as like if possible, because
did a you really know they used high to pluck their like hairline.
Yeah. They used to shave and like pull their hair back.
A big forehead was a sign of beauty, whereas now if someone has a big forehead, they feel insecure.
You're
like, about it.
Mega mind. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which is obviously stupid. All foreheads are great, guys. Same. You know, but it is really interesting that I think. I was reading, what's his name again? I know he's on Dragon's Den. Do you know that podcaster that I'm thinking of? He's on Dragon's Den. I'll have a look off. I think his name is Stephen something. But anyways, he had this this guy on his podcast, and I only just heard like a really, really snippet of it, but it really made me think in the way that he said like Gen Z now is like the first generation in like history to live completely authentic to themselves. And the reason because of this is that we, from the moment we are born, we are told that we are ending, you know, in the sense where we have seen our parents have horrible relationships, or we've seen other adults have their relationships crumbled. We've lived through financial crashes. We have lived through recessions. We've lived through booms. We've lived through busts. We have gone through environmental crises, humanitarian crises, global crises, if you will. And we are the first generation to stand here, and at the forefront of everything that is going wrong, we have like decided to just, in that moment, just become ourselves. It is a real, in my opinion, like a fight survival thing, and being like, well, you know what, fuck it.
Yeah.
Isn't it all going to go wrong? You might as well just wear that skirt or shave your head or, you know, and it is really, really interesting.
On the other sense, because we grew up with the internet, our generation is so influenced by trends and by each other.
Well, of course.
You know, and that there's always two sides to every coin.
But there is really two sides on every coin. Of course, we are going to be largely influenced and largely connected with each other on a more of a global scale. You know, like back in, I'd say like 1960s Cork in Ireland, nobody knew what anyone was like, what the fashion trends in Vietnam were. You know what I mean?
My grandmother was saying to me the other day, she was like, if you wanted to go see your friend or something, you had to know, obviously you had to walk there. There was no phones or anything. You wouldn't really have any like that kind of influence or like as much social awareness.
Sure, absolutely. And I think as well, you know,
there's
obviously
always, like, a positive aspect to like growing up with communication, internet, obviously.
Yeah.
I do kind of like, my heart kind of like feels sometimes like, oh, I wish I could like have grown up without the internet and without being influenced by certain things.
But I think even obviously we do see like forefront trends come to our surfaces. But I think as well, it is super interesting with our generation is that we choose, like consciously choose to abide by them or to restrain ourselves from these trends. And not even restrain, that's not the particularly right word, but like we choose to like not use them, or we choose to abide by them.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think contributes to our overall theme of authenticity as a generation. And
that's true. I think there is very good authenticity with our peers.
Yeah, absolutely. And you like, you even see that like that progressing in within like terms of, you know, gender as an aspect. You know, back then, of course, if somebody came out as non-binary back in like the 70s, I'm sure there were people who were, but like that just wasn't a term used. We are like very authentic. We can live.
We have the language to express ourselves.
We do. We absolutely have the language. And then, you know, fashion as a culture, we do have that choice to dress and what and choose our own standard of beauty and choose our own standard of perception and how people can perceive us.
I have a question for you. Would you prefer secondary schools to have a uniform or no uniform?
God, that is a debate, isn't it? I mean, I personally think I would have preferred not to have a uniform. I think uniform, especially in Ireland, can be really, really constrictive, and I think it can be very,
it doesn't allow any creativity or
it
expression.
It doesn't. And I think I had like a huge problem back in my secondary school. So I went through a bit of an emo phase. But you know what? Yeah, and I had electric red hair, which was great crack. I mean, you know, rock on. And I had piercings and I mean at the core of me, I've always been one to test boundaries within myself and others. I've always been like, I'll show you this meme that I sent to my friend Shiva the other day, and I just thought it was so me. But I think like uniforms for me, I get the point of trying to make everyone look the same. But in reality,
I think that's a good thing for bullying, because like,
yeah,
you know, when
You know, I mean, I understand that point, but I think in reality, you know, I do get the thing of like, the only thing that like separates or argues that point of, oh yeah, well, we should have uniforms, only comes from an economical standpoint of view, of which I do of course get it. Not everyone can afford to get the newest Sambas or the coolest pair of jeans.
I think if I had in secondary school, like knowing myself, I love fashion, and I would have loved to be able to express myself, but I think I would have been so stressed out every day picking out an outfit.
Yeah, but I suppose, but I think, you know, I do get that from a personal aspect. I really do understand that. Like, so sometimes, like as I said, like sometimes I'll be going to college and I'll be like, what do I wear?
Yeah, it's just like, I don't want to because get dressed in. It's so easy to just pick out a uniform.
I do get that from a personal aspect. But I think as well, I think we should strive for people to surround themselves with other people that won't perceive them just because of their clothing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like that saying of like, oh, if you can't love me at my worst.
College, though, that when people are mature, you know, like 13-year-olds.
Sure, but I think that should be something that we should try reinforce.
Yeah, no, that's younger. You're right, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I have
that kind of thing.
I think that should be a raised perception of society, you know, where, you know, I have a niece and I have a nephew, and from from their young age, like my nephew Keegan, he's still 4, and I have a niece, Lacey, who's 12 now, and she's 13, and she's just about to go into secondary school in September. And you know, I think me and Lacey, I love that child with all my heart. We're 8 years apart, and she's my best friend and will be my best friend forever. But you know, I think I took a lot of responsibility in myself to try raise her, you know, to be accepting of everything, you know what I mean?
That's really nice.
To have that open, like being like, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. Because I think even from like a sociological like point of view, I was talking to like one of my friends, and it was like almost, you know, I forget like, you know, I don't know, like you're half German, like, but sometimes like I'd actually forget that you're half German.
Oh, because, yeah, it's not part of my identity.
Because
at all,
it's like, not, yeah. And it's not even an identity thing, because I think once I get to know people, like me and you are obviously really close, I only perceive your personality more than I would perceive your outer experience as human. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like if you, like, obviously you look gorgeous today, but even if you showed up today in a pair of sweatpants and a hoodie, I would see what you're wearing, but I could subconsciously not. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I would see your personality.
You're not really a judgy person. You know what? Yeah, like.
Yeah, but I think that happens with a lot of people, though. It's like, do you know what I mean?
I think they just need to mature and grow up.
Sure. And I think that is a mature perspective on it. But I think it happens with a lot of people where you forget, like, you know what I mean? And it sounds super strange. I understand how like weird it sounds to be like, yeah, I forget like your background, your like ethical background, I'll forget like, you know, what color eyes you have or where you like booty, and like obviously
you forget, know, what color eyes I have.
You have blue eyes, I know, but you know, you
what's
know
that
what
saying
I mean?
That you only the sign that you love someone is if you know what color eyes they have.
What color eyes do I have?
Brown.
Yeah. No.
No, but it's the same.
They're
like,
purple, Helena.
if you ask someone to describe the eyes of someone, and if they can describe them really well, then like they really love them and know them.
Yeah.
You don't love
I know what color eyes you have. No, I was just saying that, you know, from an outer. You know what I mean? It's funny where you only perceive people. And I think that should be the way that we should reinforce. Because even I, you know, in my friends in like secondary school, I remember showing up because, again, I was such a rule breaker. Do you know what was so good about my school, right? So we used to have, like, my year group, I remember, in from like 2Y to, like, I think sixth year. That we used to have, well, no, it must have been 60 because we were in school in TY in 50. But we used to have PE on Tuesdays and Thursdays, yeah. Right? But in high school, because of like COVID and like restriction measures, they would allow us wear our track suits like into school and like not our little like skirts that ride up your ass. Like we could wear like our tracksuits.
Did you have short skirts as well?
Yeah, no, yeah. I had a really short skirt.
Same. I used to be given out to my parents.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like one of those pencil skirts, so like technically it would come down to just above your knee, but everyone would like roll up the waistband.
Yeah.
They were just so much cuter short.
I actually loved my school uniform.
It was so cute.
I really liked my school.
And like I had those little boat shoes or like black Vans.
Did you have?
I had the navy boat shoes. What do they call them?
I wore docks. Again.
They were like ankle docks almost, but they were, you know those boat shoes?
I do.
Yeah, the Dubarrys. I had the Dubarrys with my navy tights, little blue mini skirt, and then like blue shirt and blue navy jumper. I was so cute. And then like neighboring schools had like the skirts down to their ankles.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, but I used to like wear then, because we used to have Tuesday and Fridays, but they wouldn't allow us like like get changed in the changing room because of like COVID and like distancing measures, that we were allowed to like wear our own clothes. So I used to like take full range of that, and I've never participated in PE, so I would just come in with like my jeans and like like my sweatpants, and you know, and I think that is like that is a culture. So I think in schools, I think I would push and strive for a non-uniform thing. I think that's a really old regiment idea. And I think even like regarding education, I think, you know, looking all the same, I get it's fair, as I said, from an economical standpoint, that people may not afford to buy this or to buy that. But I think from like an educational standpoint of view, and like even like, again, as like a human perspective, it's just like none of us are the same. So why are we pretending to be? None of us are the same regarding academical experiences. You know, I was shit at chemistry in school. I was shit at maths. I actually couldn't. Like the amount of breakdowns I had, shout out to my school guidance counselor teacher for guiding me through that, you know. But then again,
the
you know.
Times tables in primary school.
Oh, I still can't even count to seven. I'll be like, one, two, nine.
I was such a stubborn kid that I point blank refused to learn the timetable. Yeah. I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, spelling test, like, English test, I loved. Like, the math test, I was just like, I just don't enjoy this. Like, I enjoyed certain aspects of math, like trigonometry and, like, algebra that I actually, like, things that I got, I liked, but the kind of logical equation, I was like, this is shit boring. I don't like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then I remember the timetables, I point blank refused. Like, I would not learn them, and then, like, my family just gave up trying to make me learn them. And my dad, I remember he once, like, made me learn the three times tables, and it's the one that I could genuinely
rattle
off. Yeah, like then I could, like, if I, you know, now
I think I'd even struggle with my two times tables.
Seven by eight, I'm like,
what, 12 times tables?
144.
I can't do that.
I just know the last ones.
Well, you know,
I feel
think
like this is us shortchanging ourselves so much, being like, we can't do maths. But like,
No, for me, it's absolute. But then, you know, as I said, then in other subjects, I really excelled. I really excelled in English. I really excelled in music. And I think a lot of me is because...
That's another thing. It's like, why do we put such an emphasis on being good at maths and science? Yeah. Some people are just really good at other stuff.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know? But like, I think that has to go with a thing of an old regiment system. And it's a systematic thing within our education, within a lot of education systems, as to where, you know, and it goes again with that uniform thing, trying to make us all the same. And trying to make us all the same was
like
trying to push us down.
School, trying to all make us
trying to like push us down that like area where we could only be good at maths or science to excel. And, you know,
it's okay to be good at the things you're good at. You don't need to.
Like the practicalities of it is that, you know, people have the same. As I said, you know, I used to think it was crazy. Now, for the most part, I didn't particularly like secondary school because I never had a good experience. But, you know, not like I'm never bitter because of it, because I did love the people that I was with. for the most part. And, you know, I think I rejected, my body just rejected the idea of systematic education, you know. But even, like, yeah. these rules that I remember having, like, my school was actually fairly, it was fairly laissez-faire for a lot of it, but it was also really, really quite strict in, like, really minor details, like, really surface details, being, like, you can't have, like, a nose, like, a nose piercing was a no-go. Like, you couldn't dye your hair besides natural colours. So if you weren't blonde, ginger or brunette, you were, you know, you could get suspended, which I think is ridiculous. What? You could have no...
Yeah, that's crazy.
And, like...
Like, aside from the uniform point of view, dictating people, like, actual genuine appearance.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, ridiculous. And I think that limits people's creative expression, which I think... Also,
psychologically, that's so bad. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And I think that, like, that, like, so limits people's creative expression. And I think only implicates further as, like, with no ability to create, to have creative expression, becomes, like, it becomes, like, education almost becomes oppression in that point of view. Because as I just said, you know, like, you know, like, it, you know, as I literally just said, education should be eye-opening, as I find with philosophy. And it should open doors, and it should open your headspace. It should open how you perceive others and the world. But I think that limitations, like, cause I always used to challenge, like, you know, as I said, like, I had, like, a really, like, short, like, bob, like, that was, like, half electric red, half maroon. I had my hair half dyed white, half dyed black.
Did you?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. But I wasn't a split, like, from my, like, crease. I was, like, underneath, half white, half black. But I used to get in trouble. I used to get absolutely berated in school, like, by, like, faculty, because of this. And I always used to, like, challenge it on the grounds of, like, I understand your rules, but why am I abiding it? Because it's not affecting my education or your ability to teach.
My school's the same. It was, like, you know, no ear piercings other than your lobes, no face piercings, no tight pants. So you couldn't wear, like, your school pants had to be baggy because it was distracting. Or
isn't that fucked?
And it was like, that's disgusting. Why that's are you looking at my legs? That's just absolutely disgusting. I'm literally 14, you know?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. That that's just absolutely disgusting.
And yeah, the whole hair thing as well. And then, like, as the years went on, I actually kind of let it slide a little bit. Like, people would have, like, ear piercings, helixes, and, like, some people would have dyed hair.
Yeah.
And, like, I came in with, like, jewellery all the time and everything. Like, you know, I didn't really care. And I was like, I'm wearing whatever pants I feel comfortable in. Like, you can't be looking at my leg. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's that, like, even aside from the uniform point of view, like, that is just ridiculous. It's not affecting my education in any way.
Absolutely.
What's affecting my education is being disturbed by you.
And I think, you know, and I think that was, like, a huge problem for me. And I, like, again, it, like, it just goes down to, like, how we embody stereotypes. There's this quote by Albert Einstein, it always used to stick in my head, where it was like, if you teach a fish to climb a tree, or, like, if you try to force a fish to climb a tree, it will live its life thinking and believing that it is stupid. Although that fish has so many endless possibilities. You know, like, you're just not teaching it correctly.
Forcing people to be what they are.
Forcing people to become who they are is not allowing them to become who they're meant to be.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's a really thing that we need to change. Even again, you know, and I say, so like I said, it's one thing that I will absolutely credit our generation for, is that, you know, I never, besides, you know, obviously when I was a kid, like, you know, I had a few skirts and whatever, and which is still nice, obviously, like, I'll still wear them. But, you know, as a generation, we are allowed to authentically decide that for ourselves, and in the, like, to become the embodiment of how we'd like to be perceived. And for me, like, fashion is how I identify myself, you know, and it's how I allow people to perceive me. And it's also, I think, an outwardly effect, like, an outward, outwardly expression of how I'm feeling in myself.
Exactly.
You know?
And always makes me feel better when I like what I'm wearing. And that's not like a, you know, self-obsessed kind of thing or like a vanity thing, but it's like, it genuinely makes me feel good to be wearing the clothes that I love because they make me feel good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what I love is when people say to you, it's like, oh, you have nice style, or like, I know what you're going to be wearing, or like, that's so you. I think you said that to me once. You were like, oh, like, we were talking about like our cartoon character outfits.
Yeah, I remember that style.
And like, you know, when people tell you that you have like a signifier,
you could kind
style.
Of guess. Yeah, it's like, so no, cute. It's true. It is true, isn't it? Like,
cute.
But I think that is like
that we're
is
little
really
humans
obvious.
That like dressing ourselves. Like, isn't that so adorable?
Yeah.
Like, we're just little beings on a planet. And
what did you call them? Meeps or peeps?
Peeps.
Really,
they were,
just
the
like
things, they were the things inside.
They were
us.
The things inside of you.
I wrote a book when I was younger, a biology book that was actually referenced by an actual science book. And I wrote this entire sketchbook that I drew little drawings in on like these little beings that lived in our body and like controlled us, not in a bad way, but they were like the little blood cells and the little energy things. Mm-hmm. And then I would like cross reference my little science book and like actually write like scientific. I'm such a nerd.
That's so funny, yeah. Yeah, it is. It is super interesting.
I had a whole chapter on how babies were made. They were made in a factory.
Yeah, apparently so.
Yeah, that was my 8-year-old wisdom.
That was your 8-year-old wisdom on the birds and the bees. But yeah, it is super interesting, like, clothes through a gender construct. And I think it is, as I said, I think it is a really, really nice thing that we can be completely fluid in our identities now.
Yeah.
We're creating like constraints of like past.
Yeah, I love dressing. Today I'm wearing like tights, leg warmer, and a dress, but then the next day I'll be wearing like baggy jeans and a big t-shirt.
Oh, I'm always wearing baggy jeans and a big t-shirt. I don't think I've ever.
Yeah, I love my jeans.
Yeah.
I love my
pants. No, I'm a jeans gal.
This is the first time I've worn a skirt and dress in ages, to be fair.
It's
very
nice, that's
actually. I love skinny jeans. I love the baggy jeans. Mm. But I remember saying this to Kiva once. We were like taking like pictures together, like a picture in a mirror selfie, and I always look like her boyfriend because I'm wearing like baggy jeans and like a t-shirt. Or, like,
I'm gonna look
jumper.
Like your boyfriend today.
Yeah, and now we've switched roles, and like I'm taller than you as well, so it looks like I'm your like your boyfriend in the background. It's so funny. But I love that style. I love the whole like boyfriend style. Like, I actually love how unisex clothing can work, you know?
Like, this is, like, I was just looking up how, like, gender affects fashion, and it even says here, our clothing can lead us to make judgments about a person, such as their gender or sexual orientation, which is super interesting on, like, from a sociological point of view, which I think, although, like, it is definitely right, but it is really, really fun nowadays where you can dress to, like, your perception, where, like, how you want to be perceived by the world. It is really, really cool. But leading from that, give me your, what is, like, what's a yay fashion trend that you like? What's a nay fashion trend you like? And this can be anything, like hairstyles, jewellery, clothing.
Okay, can I go with a nay first?
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
That I used to like, but you know the, like, really chunky, like, polymer clay rings?
I used to
kind of like them, but now I just feel like they're kind of on the fugly spectrum.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I love colour. I wear a lot of colour. But, like, sometimes they just look... I love
sometimes I just... Maybe they kind of look like you're just still in play school.
Yeah. And they... Especially if they're not made.
Just get a Haribo ring, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, exactly. Because I love my, like, silver and gold jewellery. And I like that kind of classic handmade jewellery. But I just find those rings nay. I'm like, they don't get a colourful necklace or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Something like that. A yay. I love the Otsiku tigers. They're like, you know, in the yellow and black. I'm gonna get those.
Love.
They're like the Sambas, but I feel like the Sambas are almost going a little bit.
No.
Which I hate to say, but I do love
I'll never leave my Samba addiction alone. Ugh.
I love my Sambas.
I love having colourful shoes.
Some little, like, more alternative shoes as well.
Otsiku tigers are beautiful, though.
Yeah.
Like, they're
because they're the same shape as the Sambas, which I really
they're
like.
They're gorgeous.
My Sambas are really comfy, and I love that shape, but I want something a little different as well. So they're a
yay. I just like wearing a bit of colour. I think it's always really, really fun about me. I think, like, you know what's funny? I always, like, think about, like, how I, like, used to dress as a child. And I still think I do dress, like, very, very similar. Because I
need to show you some of my baby pictures.
Oh, stop.
We need to exchange
I think in a way as a kid, I think I was always a bit rough and tumble because I grew up with, like, two older brothers. And I think as a child you tend to copy, like, the other or the older children around you. And, like, I grew up with two brothers that were always... mucking about. So then I naturally grew up with, like, I was naturally like climbing trees and jumping off buildings. And so I think I always grew up with like a pair of baggy jeans and, or like really colourful leggings, which I still think I do bring that into my 20s. Like, I don't think you'll ever see me without a bit of colour. And I think I love those Oshiko trackers because I'm always so like, cute. I can wear pink shoes today.
I know, I really want the yellow ones as well.
Or I like yellow actually. The yellow and navy are quite nice.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of bored of my sandals, because they're black and white, but I want colourful ones.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the blue ones that I wanted in the shop when I got them.
I have blue ones. They're so much fun.
I want the, like that close blue. I like the dark blue ones as well.
Or the special handball ones. They're like royal blue with red laces.
Yeah.
Yum.
Or I love the green and pink ones.
Yeah, I agree. I'm trying to think of my new fashion trend. Oh, you know what? I know parachute pants. Or, you know that like, what's that like?
The shiny
windbreaker material tracksuits. Yeah.
The vintage Adidas ones I kind of like though.
No, it doesn't float my boat in fairness.
I think the like, you know, camping tent fabric parachute pants are really gone. They're just like, they just look...
They'll never work for me.
I have parachute pants, but they're like linen fabric.
Yeah.
And they're just like baggy pants.
But then they're just baggy pants. But you know the ones that I was talking that like shiny. Got like really popular last year? And they're like shiny.
I feel like they're like just like they look like...
You might as well be wearing a windbreaker on your little ankles, like.
Yeah.
You know what I love, right? As a small girly, I love platform shoes.
Even as a tall girly, I love platform shoes.
Platform black
like sandals. That you haven't seen yet because we aren't in summer. But
they're
so good. I am like 6'1" in them, but like still.
But still, absolutely supermodel. Yeah. Well, you know, actually, it was really funny. I was talking to my brother's girlfriend there the other day, and I was just seeing the light like explode in your eyes. I'll make this quick. We were talking about when will mullets go out and frosted tips come back.
Oh my god, isn't that, they will come back.
Frosted tips.
Honestly, it can be kind of hot, like. Sometimes I think things that are ugly are actually
cool. Because
buzzcuts
are now kind of out.
Yeah-ish.
And mullets came in.
But they're going, I think.
And I think mullets are going. I think we'll see the end of an era.
I do love a mullet, but I think we're going to
see the end. I do love a mullet. Yeah. Or like, remember when every lad like used to have handlebars? The mustache. That was really popular. Facial hair got really popular. That was really funny.
Still does, I think. You know what I love is like ballerina pumps with like jeans.
Yeah, that's becoming really popular. Or you know what? I was in Mountain Point today because mammy needed some clothes for my niece's confirmation coming up. But I saw loads of stripes.
Love stripes.
I'm a stripy type of gal. Yeah. Now, I'm a horizontal stripe.
Oh, yeah, same.
Then on top.
I know that the vertical ones are meant to make you look, like, taller or, like, more, like, elongated. But I find the horizontal ones are so cute. I do have vertical striped, like, linen pants, though, and those are nice, but they're very thin stripes.
Oh, I quite like those now. Yeah.
They're nice. Or the linen pants, that's a yay. I like those. I don't care if they go out of fashion.
That's like me and myself.
That's the thing though, like I actually don't care if things go out of fashion because like...
Or like, you know what's so funny as well? I always think fashion, the thing about it as well is like you might as well just be like you might as well just be wearing what you like because I think it'll always come in and out. Like
certain
I remember
people like things certain people will, who cares?
Yeah, but it will always come back. You know, I remember like in 2010 I was gifted a pair of like Uggs that like went up to my knees. Now I outgrew them because they were obviously just too small for me. I stood on your toe. By the time now. But you know, back like in like 2019, if you were Uggs, it was a bit like a... But
now
here,
they're
so popular.
But to be fair, they're the ankle ones. I haven't seen anyone wearing the knee-high ones.
Yeah, bring those back.
Bring those back. They're comfy.
Yeah, honestly, God, the Uggs. I will live for Uggs.
You know, for me, is like skinny jeans with like those like knee-high boots. Sometimes they're just kind of like...
It's
giving Christian girl autumn.
It's giving horse girl a spring. It's giving horse girl a spring. Yeah.
Ironically, up the horse girls. Go them.
That's because you were one.
I can't beat the
You stand by them because you were one.
I used to do horse riding. I didn't actually have a horse.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not a lover. Yeah, I think I'm just not a lover of...
What is horse girl fashion?
I think a shirt, skinny jeans, a gilet, and a brown pair of leather.
Okay, I can attest that I never wore that.
Okay, well, that's fair. Call your card. Yeah.
I have a pair of brown knee-high boots.
That's funny. I can never wear, but I'd love to.
You know what I wear them with? That like denim pleated skirt I have and a jersey. A rugby jersey, denim
that's cute. I could see that wear.
And knee-high boots.
Yeah, I could see that. I just don't think I have skinny enough calves. I could never...
Okay.
Well, not that but I could never just find an actual pair of boots that would fit my calves. So I think I wear.
I always leave them half unzipped.
I know.
I had these really nice pair of like Doc Martens that I wore to EP, and I didn't know. I don't know. Did my legs grow bigger or something? Probably
it
did.
Just worked out.
My calves didn't like fit. Or my ankles didn't fit into them. I was like, that's just fantastic.
That's just bloody brilliant. That's just bloody brilliant. I'm trying to think of what other...
Also, don't get offended by any of these guys. These are just silly opinions.
No, absolutely.
We actually love everyone in our style. You can wear what you want.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Here, honest to God, I think actually there is like... I think of one particular person when I think of authenticity and they wear like the clothes that they want to wear, which... And I'm like, love.
Who?
I'll tell you after.
Oh, with someone else. Oh, yeah. I thought you were like talking about a famous person.
No. Oh, yeah. But like they wear like exactly what they want to wear, and I'm like, it's just so authentically them. I think that's the only word I could describe them. Because now when I think of them, I think of their style, and I'm like, go you.
Yeah, I loved those like that whole.
Wow, do you remember back in 2009 when people used to wear dresses over jeans?
Oh no, that's an A for you still.
Is that an A for you? I think it could
it
be a kind of.
Dress.
I think it could kind of be slay.
Depends. I don't like a tight dress over jeans, but like one of those cute like. I actually am picturing a dress I have, and it would look cute over jeans, but I don't like the those like t-shirt dresses. That were like a t-shirt, but they were long. And you like.
You know what I'm excited for as well? I was looking in the Vogue spring somewhere, like runway thing, and wedges back
Love
in
wedges.
Style.
Love wedges.
Love wedges.
A wedge high heel is so cute.
A wedge high heel is so cute.
With a little summer
Although
dress.
I just never even wear high heels, that's why I think I'm such a fan of platforms.
Yeah.
Because I never... I actually get uncomfortable wearing high heels. Like, I was just at the International Business Ball.
I still have scars on my feet from the Arts Ball from high heels.
Yeah. Like, I have... And I wore, like, literally... Oh, like, they're so funny. I call them, like, stripper heels. Because they were so tall.
Oh,
but now
yeah,
I have, like, blisters on, like, the inside of my toes. And, like,
oh, so
I was, like, walking around. I was like, ouch.
You know... What was I going to say?
I don't know how people wear them just, like, on a day-to-day basis.
You know, I saw this brand, I forget what it's called now, but they make high heels with the heel is detachable.
That's fun.
So you can take off the heel, you can switch on a wedge or any other heel, and you can also wear them flat. Like the shoes kind of like look a little strange sometimes when they're like flat because the toe kind of goes up because it's meant to be a heel. But if you actually walk on them, they look normal.
Okay.
They're really expensive, but... Imagine you go to a ball and you can just like click off your heels.
I did, honestly.
I don't want to bring
the biggest
delay
that I did. I brought my Birkenstocks, my Birkenrocks.
That's a good idea. I just hate carrying stuff.
My Birkenstocks. Are you Birkenstocks or a Crocs girl?
You know what I don't like? Maybe I shouldn't say this because like, so many people have them and I feel like this is.
What?
I hate those Marc Jacobs tote bags.
Oh yeah, I'm not a fan.
I hate them.
That's a very unpopular. But
so
I get what you mean.
Have them.
I feel bad,
but like man, those are.
I know. No hate, no shame.
No hate, no shame. But like for the price they are, like you get such a cute like vintage leather bag. With them.
Yeah, but I think that again, that's just our personal.
That's just
style.
Our personal style.
Yeah, like
Like I love the clean girlies, the clean girl look.
Yeah.
But I could never. But like, and also
not,
I just hate that bag, but.
Yeah.
Go you.
But no, yeah. It's so interesting. I'm trying to look up Vogue. The luxury.
You know, what
jumpsuit.
I don't like either. Is like the fake fur coats, like the fake fur bomber jacket coats.
What?
Like a bomber jacket, but it's fur.
Oh, I don't even like bomber jackets. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
They're not my...
I'm just such a fan of leather, like, leather jacket. I'm just like, I look good.
I would love to see this. Short suits.
Interesting.
I was looking at, I think jorts are going to come back in. I can absolutely see
jorts.
That.
Love
I jorts. Don't jorts know how I feel about it, but I think I could. I think I might try them this year.
They would suit you so jorts. Much in summer. My like summer outfit was like these like Levi jorts. To be fair, now they didn't go down to my. They actually weren't jorts. They didn't go down to my knee. They were like kind of slightly baggier denim shorts that were long. They went like down to like my mid thigh, and then I'd wear them with like a halter neck or like a little baby T-shirt in the summer, and then my Birkenstocks, and it was so cute and so comfy. I just lived. In
oh, I would wear jorts, but they would have to be like baggy, like extremely baggy.
Oh no, not the tight ones. Yeah, they're capris, the tight pants.
Yeah,
I am not, to be honest.
Oh yeah, it just reminds me of my
like
mother.
Those quarter length.
No, no offense to like, but like I just like when I say that, it just reminds me of like what was fashionable like back in like 2007. Because you remember you used to have like the capri taxi pants. No offense. I just no, I that like those. Oh no. That is such a 2007 thing. Of course they were like again, like I remember my mom wearing them, and no shame, they like, I get it was like all the rage back then, but now looking back, that's like one fashion trend that I was like, ugh.
My mom was saying to me the other day, she was like, because I was wearing my baggy jeans, and she was like, so funny her like, because she studied fashion and she was a fashion buyer. She studied fashion design, then she was a fashion buyer, so like she gave me loads of her old clothes, and she was really into fashion. She was saying how it's so funny how trends come and go, that like in the 90s they were all like baggy jeans, and then as the 2000s came, they all hated baggy jeans, and like baggy jeans was so like a no-go jeans. And like really ugly, and that now it's so back, and like they're all I wear, and she's always laughing at me, and she's like, you're wearing the jeans that we thought were so ugly.
Yeah.
This is so funny,
which is so funny, because it's like, and I think it goes a point that you're like, oh, don't even need to do this, like, you know what I mean? I'm always just like, meh.
They're genuinely comfy.
Yeah. Or I think when I think of 90s, I don't know. I don't think I'd ever wear skinny jeans. I just think they look so strange on me.
Yeah, same.
Anything
I do like my, you know, the jeans I wear, they aren't like, some of them aren't super baggy, but they're like slightly flared. Or they're like straight leg jeans, you know, the ones I have.
I think flares suit you really, really well.
I like those. You know what I love wearing is like suit pants.
Love.
You know, like the ones you got.
I had a pair of grey ones. Yeah.
I have a pair of
like. Because those are kind of tight on my thighs, but then they like really like bag out.
They're straight leg.
They're really
they're
a nice straight leg.
I have a pair of brown like wool ones, like silvery ones, and like black ones. I have so many from my mom, and I just think they look so cute with a T-shirt, like the kind of like business attire wear as casual.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at the colors. It's saying here that
how do you think about pastels?
Don't like them.
They wash me out.
They can't wear. I can't.
Dark, like extreme, like the colors you're wearing now. Like I'm the same. I need like high contrast kind of.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Nice colors.
Absolutely. I think nice they look gorgeous. Same, like they actually look gorgeous on some people. I just never.
I think really like really really dark skin pastels can look really nice because it's like the high contrast.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely. But yeah, I think. Yeah.
That concludes our
That
was fun.
That was really good. High five.
Good job, us.
Go us.
Tune in next Monday at 3 p.m. We'll be on the live radio.
Yeah, live radio.
We'll be playing some tunes.
Rocking all over the world.
Talking less. Yapping less.
All right, okay.
Bye. Well, song.